mentioned yesterday.
Torrey Way, Northwest London, Sunday, 24th of November, Chof of Cheshvan, Rabbi Moshe Levy, A True Understanding of Yitzchok's Brochus.
Today should be Refuah Shalema for Yosef Dov and Chilia. So, as he said in the title, A True Understanding of the Brachot of Yitzchak. Now, this is a story that we were all taught as little kids, a story that we've gone through many a time, and we could ask probably hundreds of questions. Why didn't Rivka tell Yitzchak? Yitzchak's a gadol hador. Whether he's blind or not, he should be able to just know, to smell who's a tzaddik, who's not, what's good, what's bad. How come he wants to give the brachot to Esav in the first place? Surely he knows Yaakov is a tzaddik. Ishtam Yoshevo Halim. Was he really fooled by Esav? But from a halachic perspective, you can ask many questions as well. What was Yaakov thinking? How was he allowed to lie to his father? There's a whole sugya we'll go through a little bit. Anochi Esav Bechorecha, I am Esav, your son. How does he say that? You're right, his mother sends him, says go, get the brachot, get the blessings. How could he do that? How can he lie? Surely it's not going to be good if he lies. Surely it's going to end up coming back to bite him, if you will. It's going to end up hurting him. What is going on over here? And we know that what is Yaakov? It's in his DNA. We say it every day, Titen Emet Yaakov, Chesed Abraham. It's something that Hashem gave them. I was having a whole discussion yesterday about the Chesed of Abraham. That was it part of who he was, or did he have to work on himself? It seems like it was part of who he was, and all the tests that he had were going against his nature. Yaakov Avinu, his nature is Emet, yet in this parasha, we see more than once how it seems like he's not honest, he's not truthful. Even if you want to go through the first story, Esav says, Ya'akveni ze pa'amayim, right? He scammed me twice. Even if you want to say the first one wasn't necessarily a scam, Esav says, give me some lentils. Yaakov says, I'll make you a deal. He's a Jew, he's a businessman. You want something I got, I'm going to get something from you. Give me the Bechorah. And again, we could discuss for a long time, how could somebody even buy the rights to being a Bechor? I'm a Levi. If you say, I want to buy the rights to being a Levi, can you buy them for me?
Sure.
Furthermore, even if you could, and if I should discuss, how can you buy something, it's not something tangible or physical. But again, each one of these things is its own sugya. This whole understanding of Yaakov, what, where. Remember when I was, I think we mentioned in the past over here, when I was in university, I was taking one of the classes, was business law. And the professor was Orthodox Jew. We were discussing the concept of under duress. I put a gun to your head and I say, sell me your house for 10 quid, and you sign the contract. Is it a valid contract? Why not? Under duress. She said, how could it be in the Torah? Esav is dying of hunger. And what does Yaakov do? He says, all right, sell me the firstborn. Surely it's invalid. He's under duress. He's dying. He'll do anything. The case shouldn't even work. Even if you answer up all the other questions we had. So if you look at the pasuk, it says, Yaakov natan le'esav lechem u'zid adashim. What was Esav buying? Zid adashim. What does the lechem do? The lechem makes it that he's not dying of hunger. He's hungry, but he's no longer under duress. He's got the bread. Yaakov knows how to make a deal. He knows all the case law. Lechem uzid adashim, vayochal vayesh, he eats, he drinks, vayakum vayelech. Surely after I put a gun to your head, when I say this is now my house, what are you now going to do? Go to court and make a whole big deal. I was under duress, you had a gun to my head, not valid. Vayakum vayelech. The Torah makes an emphasis of telling us he just goes. And then it says, vayivez Esav ad ha-bechorah. Esav would have got up afterwards and made a whole tumult. Then it would have been a different situation. The fact that he leaves shows that it meant nothing. But the story of the brachot of Yitzchak, how could Yaakov lie? So, when going through the sugya of Anokhi Esavich or Echaim Esav, your firstborn, Mefarshim bring a few different gemaras to help us understand when you're allowed to lie. Are you allowed to lie? How far can you bend the truth? I was giving a shiur in Barclays Bank, and that was the topic. How far can you bend the truth when trying to make a sale? And the Gemara in Pesachim brings down a case. One of the rabbis was talking to a goy, and the goy says, "You know what? One of my favorite meals of the year is Korban Pesach." Now the rabbi knows. Says, "Kol nechar lo yochal bo." You're not allowed to eat from the Korban. Goy is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. He says, "Who's giving you Korban Pesach?" He says, "They don't realize I'm not Jewish. I pay like everybody else. I come. What is the Korban Pesach ultimately? Shawarma, on the fire, roasted. It's good stuff." So the Rav says to him, "Are they giving you the best part?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "The tail. Oh, that's the juiciest." He says, "No. They're not giving you from the tail. They're scamming you. They're ripping you off." Next year Pesach, they're having the Korban Pesach, and he says, "I want some from the tail." They're like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, I was talking to one of the Tanoim, and he said to me, 'You're ripping me off.'" What do they now realize? Can't eat from the tail. He's a guy. Something's off over here. Was this Tana allowed to tell him to lie or lie to him that they're not giving you the best part? The Gemara brings down, a different Gemara brings down. Interesting story. It's three Tanoim, they're traveling. And comes Shabbat, they have to now stop in the hotel. They stop by the inn. And they say to the innkeeper, "So what's your name?" He says, "Kidor." One of the Tanoim says, "Don't give your guy this money. Don't give this guy your money." "Why not?" "He's got a bad name." "What do you mean he's got a bad name?" It says, "The Pasuk says, Kidor Tapuchot Hema." It's talking about a bad generation. It says, "Kidor," because the generation, that's his name. It's like, what are you going on about? It's a Pasuk. It's a name, no shaita, no connection. It says, "I ain't giving him my money." He goes, he finds a hole, buries, puts down his money. The other two Tanon, they give the money, they come after Shabbat, "We need our money back." What does Kidor say? "I don't know what you're talking about. We were here yesterday, right before Shabbat. I don't know what you're talking about." He says, "See, I told you." They don't know what to do. They notice that in his beard, he's got a little bit of lentils. So they go to the guy's wife on the other side of the hotel and they say, "Your husband said to give us the money." She says, "I don't know what you're talking about. We spoke to him, we made a deal, he said to give us the money." "I don't know what you're talking about." He says, "He told us the simon that you should know we're telling the truth, that only you and him would know, you gave him lentils for lunch." She says, "Okay, I guess so." She goes, she gets the money, she gives it back to the Tanaim. What did the Gemara say at the end? What does this guy do to his wife? He's so upset, he kills her. Yeah? Now again, the Chacham didn't know that he would kill his wife, but it shows to what extent of a rushway he was. But the reality is, were they allowed to lie? Were they allowed to tell her, that this is what your husband said when he obviously never said it? Are you allowed to lie? Right? I have a book in my house that we've started using. Right? You know, they have Achashalti, based on the questions asked to Reb Zilberstein, or our school has What If? What If 1, What If 2, What If 3? So they have a children's version. Yeah, they have a children's version. Every Shabbat, there's usually two per parsha. Once in a while there's a story. I'll take it out and I'll get my kids. My 3-year-old's too young, but 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 11-year-old, even 13-year-old, and I say whoever gets the right answer is gonna get an ice pop, gonna get extra dessert, whatever it might be. And I'll ask them the question and they need to give me the answer. So a couple of weeks ago, what was the question? This guy goes to the barber. I think it was in Eretz Yisrael. He says to the barber, "Make sure you do a good job. I'm getting married tomorrow." He says, "Oh, if that's the case, chatan, instead of 50 shekel, 100 shekel." Now it is in Eretz Yisrael. There's no prices on anything. Depends who you are. And my sister-in-law was in seminary. I was living in Eretz Yisrael. She came. She's like one of the girls in my seminary. It was the first day. Right? She comes, she takes a taxi that should have been 20 shekel. The guy realizes who he's dealing with. He says, "This will be 50. She's like, "Shekels or dollars?" He's like, "Dollars." There's no prices. Doesn't say chatan, more expensive. Is Israeli. He says, "Okay. If that's the case, 100 shekel. The guy gets his haircut. He says, I'm only really should pay you 50. He says, why? He says, because that should be the normal price. He says, no, but when you sat down, I told you 100, you agreed to pay 100. He says, anyways, my hair goes crazy quick. By tomorrow, I'm probably going to need another haircut. He says, what are you talking about? He says, you'll see. My hair goes crazy quick. He says, you know what? If you come back in a few hours and your hair grew back, I'll give you a free haircut. No problem. The guy says, okay. 3 hours later, comes back. It's like he didn't have a haircut. The barber says, 25 years I'm doing this. Never in my life have I seen such a thing. He sits the guy down, gives him another haircut. After the wedding, the guy feels very guilty. Because what happened? He had a twin brother. Yeah? There's a twin brother. He says, do I have to pay for the haircut or not? Do I have to pay for the haircut or not? So what was the answer in the book? They quoted a Gemara. This guy was captured. He was in jail, whatever the case was. He's stuck. And he needs to cross the river. There's one boat over there. The guy says, normal on the Mornay should be 100 quid. He says, you want to get to the other side over there? It's going to be 500 quid. Why? Because he notices the guy's desperate. He gets to the other side of the bridge. You have somebody, imagine over here in London, they stop a black taxi, they're in town. I need to go to the hospital right away. Should be 10 quid ride. What does he say? 100 quid. Are you going to argue with the guy? No. Why?
You need to get to the hospital.
You get to the hospital, are you able to say, hey, here's 10 quid, that's the normal price. Or when you agreed, it was 100 quid or not. What's the halacha?
10.
Yeah? So, they said, based off the case in the boat, in the Gemara, since the guy was scamming you, therefore, what are you able to do? You don't have to pay the crazy price. If you get in the taxi, hospital, it should be 10 quid always. It's a 5-minute drive. The guy says 100, you say, no problem, let's just go. You only have to pay 10. Because what happens if somebody's scamming you, what are you able to do? Scam them back. Same thing in the case with the tail. Same thing in the case with Kidor. What do we see? What's the precedent? If someone's trying to scam you, what are you able to do? Able to scam back. How could Yaakov Avinu lie? How could he scam Yitzchak? Because what's the whole reason that Yitzchak's giving the brachot to Esav in the first place? Esav scamming Yitzchak. Esav scamming Yitzchak. Yitzchak thinks he's a tzaddik. So what does he say? Okay. I'm going to give Esav the brachot.
Was it equal? Was he clever enough to realize that Esav is scamming him?
Yeah. So, let's get back to that in a minute. Yeah? What happens? Yaakov's able to come in, and he's able to scam Yitzchak, saying, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. Because when it comes to a scam, you're able to scam the scammer. And able to get what is rightfully yours.
Esav scammed Yitzchak, but not Yaakov.
But now that Yitzchak's only giving the brachas because he was scammed by Esav, Yaakov's allowed to come and scam Esav out of getting the brachot. Because they were never rightfully his. They were only them because he was a scammer. So you're able to scam the scammer. That's from a halachic perspective. What was Yitzchak thinking? So I'm sure you've heard this before, it's worth repeating quickly. What was Yitzchak thinking? You look at the brachot. What are the brachot all about? If I tell you, you're going to go to a Gadol Adar and get a bracha, what would you expect the brachot to be? You're going to go to Chaim Kanievsky, get a bracha. What are you going to get? What type of brachas? For what? Health.
Parnosa.
You should have good children. Gadol Batoira. Yeah. Hatzlacha. What are the brachot that Esav gets, or that Yaakov gets, assuming it was Esav? What's it all about? All about Gashmias. All about Mital Hashmanayim, Mishmanei Haaretz, Rav Dagan V'Tirosh, Yavducha Amim. Where's the Torah? Where's the brachot? You should be a tzaddik. Where's the brachot? Your children should perpetuate the legacy that Avraham Avinu set before us. And if you look at the end, in the Aliyah of Shvi'i, when Yitzchak knows that he's talking to Yaakov, after Yaakov already took Esau's brachot, what does he say? What bracha does he give him? Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov. Berechato Yitzchak v'yomar lo. Lo tikach Hashem lo b'kanan. Don't take a non-Jewish wife or a Canaanite wife. Right? Vayiten lecha et berkat Abraham. What should Hashem give you, says Yitzchak to Yaakov? The berkos Abraham. Lecha uzalacha et kal roshcha et eretz megurecha shanatan alkim l'Abraham. He gives him that bracha to follow in the footsteps of Abraham Avinu to get Eretz Yisrael. Why is Yitzchak only giving Esav the Gashmi bracha? Some Mefarshim tell us, we know, we've heard of the concept of Yisachar Zevulun. What is Yisachar Zevulun? Yisachar, you sit and learn. Zevulun, I'm going to support you. So, excuse me, Zevulun says to Yisachar, you sit and learn, I'm going to support you. Zevulun, the Chof Yamim, the Shkon, he's the businessman, Yisachar, you're the rabbi. What was supposed to be the original Yisachar Zevulun partnership? Supposed to be Yaakov and Esav. Yitzchak understood full and well Esav wasn't a tzaddik. He didn't realize to what extent of a Russia he was. But he knew he wasn't a tzaddik. He says, look, some people are cut out to learn. Some people aren't. You're a businessman. You're a hunter. You're a man of the field. It's good. And what does he say? You're going to support your brother. And therefore, what are all the brachot? All the brachot are money. Because what was his job supposed to be? Money. Rivka knows already from 60 plus years ago, V'ravi avot sa'ir, shnei goyim bevitnech. Two separate nations, there never is going to be a partnership. There never going to be Yisachar Zebulun. If Esav gets the money, he ain't going to give any of it to Yaakov, and then if no one's supporting Torah, it's going to fail. So therefore, what does Yaakov need to be? He needs to be both. That's why he has to marry both, Rachel and Leah. Why? Because his job is to be both. The businessman, Leah was meant to marry Esav, the businessman. But it said, Dina, it says it was part of her nature that she got from her mother, that going out. You almost might call it the Kiro, going out, going, doing, going to be out there. And then, Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky ever left Nebrak? He sits in the arts. Yeah, maybe once in a while goes to Yerushalayim for Simcha, maybe all of the Rego. He sits and he learns. He doesn't go around. And there's people that go around. Esav was meant to be the businessman, Yaakov Gadol Adar. That's why he has to go study in yeshiva next week. He has to go study yeshiva Shem Eber. What's he been doing his whole life? He's 60 plus years old. Go get married. You're not young. What has to happen? I've been learning a certain type of Torah that's meant for a Gadol Adar here in Bnei Brak, here in the tent. I don't have the temptation of the outside world. Now I'm going to live with the loved one. It's a different Torah. I need to go Shem Be'aver. They went through the model. They know what it's like. They know how to fight this type of outside world challenges. That's what Yitzchak was thinking. I always think about this when we say the Shema. Because when you look at the Shema, right? The first chapter of the Shema is singular. Ve'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. Second chapter, plural. B'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem. First chapter of the Shema says, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. What's the third one? B'chol me'odecha. And the second chapter of the Shema says, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem. What does it not say? It doesn't say anything about money. How come the first chapter is much shorter? Second chapter goes through, and if you don't listen to Hashem, v'charav Hashem v'chaim v'atzaret Hashem v'chaim v'chaim v'chaim. What is in the first chapter have? So again, it needs its own class, but I'll regal achas, leave it to the Maharsha, Masechet Brachot says, what's going on over here? The first chapter is talking to the few and far in between. The first chapter is talking to the Rabbanim, to the Karlo guys. Those are the few. And therefore what happens? It could be singular. The Hamoinam, the average guy, the regular Balabos, that's the second chapter. To tell the rabbi, serve Hashem, serve Hashem with all your heart, all your soul, and all your money, he can do. Usually, they don't have that much money, but even besides that, it's much more than that. You're learning Torah all day, you can tell the guy, give everything to Hashem. He says, okay. The average businessman, 10%. Wealthy, 20%. Very, very wealthy, his quality of life won't change because he's got a few hundred million in the bank. He can give more than that. But to tell this person, serve Hashem with all your money? It's not doable. It's not doable. He works all day. Serve Hashem with his 10 or 20%. Everything can't do. The Rav, the Kailu guy who's sitting and learning all day, doesn't need to be threatened and warned. B'charaf Hashem, b'chem atzaret Hashemayim. He knows that's what he's living all day. The businessman, he's busy at work. The temptation's going to get out there and he has to know. And if you don't listen, if you don't do the right thing, Hashem's going to punish you. When we say Shema every day, we're supposed to be thinking about the businessman and the Kelel guy, the Yisachar and the Zebulun. But I heard an interesting idea. Again, I don't know anything about Kabbalah, but I'll just repeat what I heard because I found it interesting. What's going on over here with the story of Yaakov and Esav? Says the Arizal that the beauty of Adam came through Yaakov. Look at next week's parasha. It says, V'nei malachei Elokim olim v'yoredim bo. I'm not going to go into it now, but you had the Malachim that have been down here since they destroyed Sodom with Abraham Avinu and Lot, and they've been there watching over Yaakov. They now has the dream with the ladder. They go up. They see. It says on the, whatever it is, the Hashem's throne, there's different images. One of the images is a man. They're like, oh, we know this guy. We've been hanging out with him. They're like, what? All the other angels see. We want to see who is this tzaddik, who is this? The face of Adam HaRishon was like the face of Yaakov Avinu. And to some extent, says the Zohar, Yaakov Avinu is the Gilgul of an Adam HaRishon. We know that after Adam HaRishon eats from the tree, how long is it till he's able to go back with Chava and have his next child, Sheth? How long is he away from her for? Anybody? How long after Adam HaRishon? 130 years. 130 years. Tells us, Sheth was born after 130 years. Where else do we see this number 130? Yaakov Avinu comes in front of Paro, and what's the first question he asks him? How old are you? He says, I'm 130 years old. I had a very, very challenging and rough and hard life. He's not just talking about now. What does Adam HaRishon do after the chait? It says he fasts for 130 years. He's running around thorns and thistles. His mom is punishing himself for what he did. It's that same 130 years. Yeah? We know to some extent, even the Imahot, the Jewish mothers, they came to fix the sin of Chava. Mefarshim asks, why is she called Chava? Em Kol Chai. What should she really be called? Chaya. Why is she called Chava? So they say in Aramaic, the term for snake. Right? Chivya. And therefore, that extra the yud turns into a vav. Sarai Menu, to some extent, is fixing up some of what Chava does for the first 90 years of her life. When the angels come to Sarah, what do they say? Ka'et. Chaya. Chaya u'Sarah ben. Now that you've done some of the fixing up, now you've made it from Chava into Chaya. Em Kol Chai. Now you can continue that and have a child. Now Ka'et Chaya u'Sarah ben. Now you can have a child. She's fixing up some of that. But who else needs to fix it up? Rivka. When the Torah tells us that Rivka hears Yitzchak call in Esav, you're assuming, similar to Sarai Menu, Sarah Shamad Petach Ovacha, right? They're the women, they're in the kitchen listening to what's going on over there. What are the men talking about? That's the stereotype. And Sarai is true. That's what we're assuming. Mefarshim say, no, Rivka wasn't in the next room. How did she hear about it? Ruach HaKodesh. So if Hashem gave her this Ruach HaKodesh to hear what's going on the other side of the house or wherever it is that Yitzchak called and Esav said, I want to give you the blessings. If Hashem gave her that Ruach HaKodesh, what does she now understand? Must be Hashem wants me to stop it. Must be Hashem wants me to stop it. What does she do? She calls in Yaakov. And what does she say? Says to Yaakov, go. Go get the brachot. She's not really talking to her son Yaakov, says the Zohar. Who's she talking to? She's talking to her husband Adam. Chava is now coming through in Rivka. And she's talking to, says, we need to fix the sin of Adam HaRishon. You are Adam HaRishon, I am Chava. We now need to fix this Avera that we did all that time ago. Yitzchak Avinu in this scenario, the one giving the brachot, is representing Hashem. And that means, who is Esav? Esav is the Nachash. The epitome of evil, of ban. After Yaakov Avinu gets the brachot, what does Yitzchak say to Esav? Ba'achicha? Bimirma. Right? Bimirma. What do we say about the Nachash? Nachash haya?
Arum.
Same terminology. How come Hashem doesn't let Yitzchak know what's going on over here? Because it has to be midah keneged midah. It has to be done with trickery. If Yitzchak would have known that Yaakov is the right one, he would give him the brachot right away, and it wouldn't have been a midah keneged midah. Rivka calls in Yaakov, and she says to him, what has to happen over here? We need a trick. Va'ata ben nishma bekoli. What do you mean, va'ata? And now? Now you should listen to me. Last time? You should not listen to me. Now is when you got to listen to me. Because now we need to fix the avera we did then. Then you shouldn't have listened to me. Right? It says, by Rivka, excuse me, by Chava, it says four terminologies. Vatereh ishaki tovayetz, vatikach meperio, vatochal, vatiten, right? Four different terminologies. What does it say about Rivka over here as well? It says, vatikach, same terminology, Rivka, bigdeh esava, benah gadol hachamudot, asher ita babayit, vatalbeshet Yaakov, she dresses Yaakov, she gives him the food. Right? There's different, it's the same over and over and over. There's also four terminologies over here. Says the Arizal. Everything that's being done now is fixing up what happened all that time ago. When Yitzchak says the Zohar, based on Rabbi Yaakov Abu Chatzera, the Abir Yaakov, he expounds upon the Zohar. Says Yitzchak also understood that this is going to be a tikkun for Chet Adam Arishon. What was the mistake he had? He thought that Esav was the Adam. That's why he says, go get me food. Why do you need food to give brachot? Why do you need food? Esav, I want to give you brachot. Here's the brachot. Why does he need food? Because how was the original sin done? Over food. Otherwise, why do you need food? Esav, I want to give you brachot. Zeu. No, we have to fix up what's doing. We have to fix up what happened then. Then it was done over food, now it has to be done over food. Right? When Yaakov Avinu goes in front of Yitzchak, what is he wearing?
Sheep.
What's he wearing?
Sheep.
Yeah? He's wearing this special coat. Where is this special coat from?
Nimrod.
Who got it from? All the way back. Noah, Jed, Adam Arishon. The sin, right after the sin, what does Hashem do? He gives Adam these kudnot or. Now we're fixing the sin. What has to happen? He's got to be wearing the same clothes. And what does it say about Yitzchak? When he comes forward, what does it smell? Re'echa sadeh. He smells his clothing. Re'echa sadeh. Which sadeh? Gan Eden. Even when Yitzchak is telling Esav, he says, go to the field. But Esav doesn't know where to hunt. He's trying to say it has to be the sadeh. Has to be the field. That's where everything happened. It all happened in the field. Everything that's happening now is a continuation of what's coming there. What is the brachot that Yitzchak gives? The brachot that Yitzchak gives, like we said, are all gashmiut. But what are they really all about? They're all about the land. V'yiten lecha Elokim ital ha'shamayim mashaneh ha'aretz. What was the curse that Adam HaRishon got? About the aretz.
Arura ha'adamah.
Every single thing that that Yitzchak told Yaakov was coming to fix up the curses. Mishmaneh ha'aretz. V'rav dagan v'tirosh. Adam was told you should have thorns and thistles. Yaakov was told v'rav dagan v'tirosh. Adam was told you have to work hard. Right? You have to work hard. What did Yaakov get told? Ya'abducha amim. They're going to serve you. Everything that Esav was supposed to get, really, because Yitzchak thought that he is Adam, Yaakov gets, because he is Adam. And what is, everything that's being happening now is coming to be mitaken. And then, not for now, because we don't have time, the Zohar discusses, so if all the curses that Adam HaRishon got were now fixed by Yitzchak giving the brachot to Yaakov, why do we have all the troubles we have? Why do we still have to work? Why don't we have it? It needs its own shiur, what still needs to happen, tikkun-wise. But when you read these stories, that little kids, it's the beauty of Torah. You can have little kids that are 5 years old coming home, they can tell you their partial questions, they know the story. And we know the story our whole lives, but we look at it from a halachic perspective. How could Yaakov scam? Halachically, you're allowed to scam a scammer. Someone's trying to rip you off, you're allowed to go out there. Again, you need to ask your rav, because each person will suddenly convince themselves why. In business, no, I'm allowed to do this. He's trying to rip me off. Each case is its own case, and each thing is its own situation, and each thing has its own halachic specifics that you need to discuss with your rabbi. But the general rule is, if someone's trying to scam you, very clearly scam you, lie to you, cheat you, you're able to defend yourself by scamming back. What was Yitzchak thinking on a simple level? This is meant to be Yisachar Zivulun partnership. Esav's going to go, he'll be the businessman, he's going to work, he's going to support Yaakov, each time Yoshevo Ali. Rivka knows that's not going to happen. So she has to go over here. And she has to switch and make sure that Yaakov is going to get the brachot. But al pi Kabbalah, says the Zohar, what's going on over here? We're trying to be mitaken the chet akadmon, the original sin of Adam and Chava. Rivka is coming back as, Chava is coming back as Rivka. And she makes sure to do all the things that are now going to fix what she did then. Let the curse be on me. Last time I'm the one who caused the curse. The curse be on me. She says at the end of the parasha, I want you to run away. I don't want two of my children to die. Who said anything about two children to die? Who said anything about... Some of Hashem will tell you, she knows that Yaakov and Esav are destined to die on the same day. That's why in Parashah Vayishlach, when he separates the camps, as long as they're a day apart, then fine. But simply, why would two people die? What's she trying to say? Last time also, I had one brother kill the other brother. I had Cain kill Hevel. I don't want that to happen again, that Esav kills you. I don't want one of my children to kill the other children. Please, run away to my family. go. I don't want two of my children to die. Everything that's happening over here, that's coming back, what happened 2,000 years before, with the story of Adam and Chava. So we've run out of time. Be'ezat Hashem, we'll understand that when we go through these sugyot, we go through these stories, there's so much more that meets the eye. And again, I'm not a mikubal, I don't know anything, I'm just repeating what I heard, I thought it was interesting. But it just helps us appreciate how many layers and levels there are in every single story in the Torah.